we had somebody contact us, and they weren't a witness to anything per se, but there's not really any questioning his credibility because he screenshot it for us and he sent it to us, and he's not trying to say, listen, he did it for sure. I know he did it. I saw him. It's more or less, hey, I think you guys may want to see this. This could be a pretty big deal, which is why when, you know, after when we sort of quote unquote teased it in the episode before we went on break, we just didn't know what to do except turn it over to the police. And that's immediately what we did.
...24-year-old Jennifer Kesey disappeared January 24th, 2006. She was last seen at her condo on Conroy Road.
We're going to solve a missing persons case, which has haunted Orlando investigators.
So we're still waiting for that one person to come through with the one bit of information that could bring Jennifer home.
This is Unconcluded. I'm Sean Gert. This is our first episode in over a month. And over those 30 plus days, we'd pretty much removed ourselves from the podcast completely. We were just attending to other things in life. And so now we return basically right where we left off. We spent the last 8 or 9 months looking into Jennifer Kesey's 2006 disappearance, a nearly 12-year-old mystery that continues to baffle investigators. And us. And for as many people as we've been able to talk to on this podcast, or as many possibilities we've considered on or off the air, the reality is that we don't know if we're any closer to answers than the first day that Scott and I decided to take a look into this case. Today we're going to share something new with you that may mean absolutely nothing, or maybe it is something. That's the hardest part of what we're doing. So much information comes in, but it has to be deciphered. And that's the challenge so far that we've struggled with the most. But we've always considered that you listening right now are part of this with us. And it's been our intention from the beginning to share every step of the way with you. And that's what brings us to today's episode. But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break for today's sponsorship. A fresh new year has begun. And if you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/mystery. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mystery. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/mystery. Right before the break, as we were recording the last episode that you heard, a message popped into our inbox. I'd taken a quick glance at it, but I was occupied with recording and editing the episode. It didn't seem like something pressing, and I just planned on getting back to it later. In fact, at first glance, it just seemed like something that was crazy, and I wasn't going to worry about it too much. It was screenshots of a Facebook profile. I saw some random swear words and poor grammar. It just seemed kind of like a mess. But just shortly after I'd returned to working on the episode, I got a call from Scott. He'd read through the message in much more detail. And let's just say that he was taking it much more seriously than I had. But for good reason. At the bottom of this lengthy post was Jennifer Kesey's name. It was amongst a bunch of other stuff, but it was a statement saying, "I apologize to Jennifer Kesey's parents." Why would someone need to apologize to Jennifer Kesey's parents? Not hard to imagine the first thoughts that popped into my head, and certainly the thoughts that were already running through Scott's. This was strange. And within the context of the rest of the post, it could, and let's emphasize the word could here, it could be interpreted as a confession of sorts. The rest of the post had seemed to be a confession for at least 2 sexual assault crimes and a host of other things that, frankly, are difficult to make out. But then at the end, telling Jennifer Kesey's parents that he apologized, it was bizarre. And it would become even more bizarre after we spoke with the person who'd sent us the screenshots in the first place. As I was continuing to work on the episode that we were finishing up, Scott took the initiative to contact the person who'd sent it to us originally.
Yeah, so I'm from the area that she came up missing from, you know, Oak Ridge, John Young area, Texas Ave, Americana. And me and my wife were sitting there the other night, and I was going through my Facebook, and I seen a post from him, and it was saying, you know, all these different stuff, all these names, and her name had came up, Jennifer Kesey. So I was like, well, that's pretty weird. So I screenshotted it because I knew that, you know, eventually he would probably erase it. But, well, he was deported probably like a year ago because I guess he had shot some other person and a bunch of stuff had happened. He did robberies and all kinds of stuff. So he had got deported. And I never knew his real name, you know, as long as I've known him. I've known him since I was like 10 years old. And, we got into like a beef with him, you know, over some things. And he ended up shooting one of my friends. And, we didn't know his real name, so we couldn't give the investigator nothing his real name. And they kept asking us, you know, do you know this person? We're like, we know him, but we don't know his real name. And, you know, it kind of went cold, the case went cold or whatever. So, like, and then probably like, let's see. Probably about a year ago, he had requested me on Facebook. And I didn't recognize the name, but I recognized the face. So I got him on Facebook, and then that thing had came up. So I went ahead and screenshotted it and stuff.
If you haven't figured it out by now, we are altering his voice.
He's originally from Texas Ave, Rio Grande, Americana, John Young area, and that's where she came up missing from. So, yeah, like where she came up missing around the same area, you know? So, you know, I figured I'd just get it out there, you know, because I thought it was pretty weird for someone to actually write that, you know? How he's like, oh, I apologize to her parents or something, you know? And I'm like, whoa. You know, and then now he deleted it off his page now.
In the times that you had dealt with or anybody else that he ran with, did you ever hear Jennifer Kesey's name come up or anything having to do with her disappearance?
No, I never even heard of it, you know. The neighborhood that I lived in, her mom and her dad was always walking around there. I mean, it was very, and, you know, I didn't really hang out with him, you know. It was kind of like an acquaintance. I went to school with him, you know, but he kind of hung out with a different crowd of people than me. But since we went to school together and stuff like that, we still talked, but it wasn't like, you know, I've never really hung out with him or anything, so I never really had the chance of him talking. I just know he was a really crazy person. Like, he used to go around shooting at people. He's done some crazy stuff around my area, you know, and You know, like I said, he shot my best friend and he got away with it. I mean, and that was just like blank right out in the daylight, like right out of Sunoco. I was sitting right there in the car when he did it. And it was in the newspaper, probably about, let me see, I think I was like 17, I'm 28 now, I think I was like 17 at the time. He's wrote stuff on his Facebook like, oh, it was a menace to society around, you know, Orlando and all this stuff. And I guess then he was like talking about like how he went to prison and he's done a lot more things that he hasn't been caught for, and he's, you know. So wow. I just thought it was a weird situation, you know.
Do you know, did he ever wear a man bun hair, his hairstyle?
Like, what is that, like?
Like, did he have longer hair that he sort of twisted up and put into a bun on the back of his head? It was sort of popular back then.
I know he had longer hair, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
And no one knew his real name. That's how he got away with my friend's shooting, because no one knew his real name.
I mean, we are going to have to take this information to the police. So you're okay with that, obviously.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I was going to say, I didn't know who to take it to, you know. I just kept it in my phone. Like, I've had it in my phone for like 2 weeks now. And then, my wife was just looking at your page, and then I was like, oh, maybe you should send this screenshot to them, you know? And then she was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And I was like, yeah.
You said he lived in Oak Ridge Apartments. Is that where he lived, in that apartment complex?
Yeah, he lived in, the road is called Oak Ridge, and the apartment complex off Kingsgate Road is, it's called Wood Hollow. And then the neighborhood behind that is called Laura Park. And, I mean, her parents walked that whole road. I mean, I used to see them, like, every day. You know, putting out missing flyers and knocking on people's doors and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just something that I kind of grew up around, you know? Like, that was the thing that was going on, you know, at that time, you know? So, you know, I just figured it was something that should be brought up, you know? I mean, I wish it would have happened before they deported. I wish they would have found out, like, I wish I would have knew his name before he got deported, because I would have told the cops, the investigators, about him shooting my friend and all this different stuff, you know, because that's attempted murder. This is something that, you know, I thought, when I seen that, I was like, why would he even say that, you know? Like, what makes him, like, if you read it, it kind of like, I don't know, it's like eerie, you know?
Right. It's weird because he's just listing a bunch of crazy stuff, and then all of a sudden he apologizes to her parents, which was...
Yeah, exactly. That's what got me, and I was like, whoa. And then my wife is like, screenshot it. And then he's like, he's probably going to delete it. And I was like, oh, I'll screenshot it. That's the only thing that, I mean, like, I've always looked at him like, he's kind of like a scary person, you know, like he was kind of a person like that didn't really care about cops or nothing like that. Like he shot at my friend like a couple times, like not even caring, you know, like he used to do some crazy shit and like, I'm like, you know, stuff like I kind of look back, I'm like, oh, you know, now we don't have to worry about the terrorists running around here, you know. But it's just something that I've never even had the thought of him having anything to do with it. But just him posting that and then him apologizing to her parents is one thing that had got me, like, my hair sticking up on my arms, you know? And the things that he's saying on there, it's like, you can't really understand it, you know?
Right.
I hope it helps out a lot, you know? And, I mean, I even told my wife, like, you know, maybe the address on there is where, you know, she might be, you know? Because at the bottom it says October 31st, and then it says the address, you know? And I'm like, you know, maybe she's there, you know? You never know.
We're sending this to the police tonight. We're going to try to contact the detective tonight and get this to her as soon as possible. That way, if that address has something to do with it, they can try to act on it as soon as possible.
Okay.
So again, just sort of keep your phone on and ready in case somebody reaches out to you, whether it's me or whether it's the police or something like that.
Since we'd been away for our break, Scott and I took a chance to catch up last week.
I'm looking at the post again that we were sent, the screenshots, and I swear is probably one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I mean, he goes from talking about like sexual assault against family members, and then some of it is like, I don't know if it's a mix of English and other languages, but it's hard to kind of make sense of. And then at the end, he's apologizing to people, including, I'm sorry to Jennifer Kessler's parents. I don't know, man. It's just weird.
Yeah, and that was, you know, I think both of our initial impressions was how strange it is, because it's not exactly something, and if you don't make it all the way to the end of the post, you don't even see the stuff where it mentions Jennifer Kessler. And that, you know, when we got the message and stuff, it was just sort of, okay, whatever, you know, because we get stuff every day, it seems like. So some of the stuff we sort of have to take with a grain of salt and you know, analyze it a little bit to try to make something of it. But, I mean, this one just says, apologize to Jennifer Kessler's parents. And the rest of it, I have no idea what this person's talking about, if they were not in the right frame of mind, if they're on drugs, if they're drunk, no clue. You know, that would be my impression of it. But then it seems so crystal clear to put her name in there, her full name, apologize to Jennifer Kessler's parents, and then, you know, apologizing to some other people in there, too. She's not the only one. So, yeah,
well,
I don't know what the heck.
I mean, in reading it, though, like, if you take it as a whole thing, though, doesn't it seem to kind of come across as, I mean, I know we use the word possible confession, but it almost comes across as like a suicide note or something of that nature. It's just so bizarre.
It does. And in thinking about it, when me and you first got on the phone about this, I think I called you like, dude, have you seen this? This is crazy.
Right.
And I think the first thing we both said after we both read the thing through a few times was, this guy is confessing to stuff. For what reason, like you said, I don't know, suicide or whatever. The first word that came to our mind is, this is some sort of a weird confession that he's going through. He's doing this for some reason. I have no idea. But yeah, that's, and I still have that impression a little bit. Like, I don't know what else to make of it other than that. Like, who goes on there and then deletes it? So either he didn't, you know, came to his senses and realized, oh my gosh, why would I put this publicly out online, and then deleted it off of Facebook. So I don't know. I'm almost still as confused by it now as I was back when we first got it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if we really boil it down to what wouldn't be important part of it for us, it's basically one small little sentence, and it says,
right.
And I guess we're sort of paraphrasing here, because there's a couple other names that are involved in this, but basically, tell Jennifer Kessler's parents, I'm sorry. Is there, I mean, are we overthinking this, and he just feels bad for them because he saw them in, on, you know, and her being missing? I mean, it just doesn't, I mean, that's silly, right? That doesn't fit with the rest of the post, like talking about things that he did. So the fact that he's
exactly.
Like, oh, tell these people, I'm sorry, like, that just doesn't fit. Like, ask something that's personal now. I mean, maybe we're reading
yeah.
too much. I feel like I'm worried that we're going to read too much into this, and it's just nothing, but I can't read it that way. It's just, that doesn't reconcile.
It's hard not to read it that way, because like you just said, the context of it is, I did this when I was 12 years old, I did this when I was, and then all of a sudden to just randomly throw that in there because you feel bad for, you know, because apparently he must have lived in the area, or he did live in the area, so I'm sure he saw a lot about this, but we're talking 11 years later, and people go missing in Orlando every day, so it's not like she's the only person to go missing from there, so to have it not be some sort of a personal connection to it would not make any sense to me. I mean, I know he's not exactly in the right frame of mind in that, at least doesn't appear to me that he is, but it's still just, why would he pick that out, put her entire name down and say to apologize to her parents, or say that, you know, I don't know, and I've read that thing at least 100 times, and trying to, exactly what you just said, are we reading into it too much? Because
when I first saw this, I mean, I was like blown away. Like, what did we just get? And part of me is like, well, don't get too excited because this may not be anything. But I just don't see it how it's nothing. I really don't.
And I think I'm more skeptical than you a little bit about what it could potentially mean. It's just hard to, in our mind, and I guess I'm speaking for you a little bit, but it's hard for us to kind of come up with any reason that this person would write this stuff other than what we're kind of thinking, where it's like some kind of like confession or something. There's just no reason that I can conceive of why this would make sense to us. But I mean, let's talk about the guy that sent it to us too, because I mean, not only is the post in itself weird, but then we hear about the guy that made the post, and he's, I mean, obviously, apparently a career criminal. He's shot at some people, or he's gotten away with it. So, and you know what? To be honest, the part is kind of tricky too, because if you think about it, yeah, obviously this guy would have no problem committing some kind of like heinous act. You know, if we're talking about Jennifer Kessie's disappearance, but at the same time, of everything that we've known about how she disappeared, like, you know, guy who's kind of just shooting people randomly and then just kind of like a hardened criminal, I guess. That doesn't really seem like that comes across about as the kind of person that would have had something to do with her disappearance. So it's real conflicting. I don't know what to make of it.
Well, and again, I guess I've turned all this over in my head so much, and I agree, because the person who took Jennifer Kessie was not a careless person. It just doesn't seem like, and I also, part of me is not sure, like, I don't believe that he, even if this person has something to do with it, I don't know that they're the POI, because of the fact that they do have a latent fingerprint, they do have a fiber, and if he's a career criminal, then they have all his stuff in the system. Have his fingerprints, they have everything, so you would think,
well,
they would be able
right.
to cross-reference that. I don't know, though, but for someone who is as blatantly flaunts the law as it appears this person does, that is not what I would think, or the direction that I had of somebody who would have taken Jennifer, just for the reasons that you said and for the reasons that we sort of laid out. So, but I think, again, to sort of circle back, that's kind of what, when we talk about how, you know, kind of fired up I got about it at first, just because it wasn't a questioning of whether or not this person was lying, because it was right there.
And that's where we stand. We do have the comfort of knowing that the real investigators are following up on this tip. What, if anything, may come from it on their end? We'll have to wait and see. But one thing's certain. For now, this is not something that Scott and I can ignore. We'll continue to look into this individual and hope that maybe there are some answers. Because we sure know there's a million questions. And on that note, don't forget to send in your thoughts too. We'll have a sidebar next week. The voicemail number is 321-710-6304. You can email us at unconcludedpod@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We're looking forward to hearing from you after this episode. Remember, if you think you may know something about what happened to Jennifer Kessie, please come forward. The time is right now. As we near the 12-year anniversary of Jennifer's disappearance later this month, we thank all of you who have continued to work along with us to try to find answers. Those of you who have sent along tips, called in with questions or comments, looked into the details of the case and investigated on your own, or just shared Jennifer's picture, thank you. Music in this episode is by PC3, and we'll see you next time.